This is Johnny Bluestar. Welcome to Threshold, a global media event. Is the universe just a random dance of atoms? Or is it a manifestation of a supremely intelligent architect? Can its purpose, or our purpose here on Earth, be adequately assessed? Can we commune with it, know its intentions, cooperate with its direction? Here, we define Threshold as a gateway state of awareness, allowing mankind to cross into a place of real cognition. Threshold allows us to approach questions of higher reality through the door of experience rather than mere belief. Welcome to Threshold, where we tear away the veil from commercial media, bringing our audience and participants into another realm of reality and enhanced communication. Welcome back to Threshold. You know, in various programs, I've asserted that the American dream has been embedded in the American consciousness. Now, what is the American dream? I think that we have to return to the words of Thomas Jefferson, who said, we hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their creator with certain inalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness, that to secure these rights, governments are instituted among men, deriving their just powers from the consent of the government. Now, I believe that over a period of years, these thoughts that Thomas Jefferson said not only were embodied somewhat in the Constitution of the United States and the Declaration, but expanded to make this dream grow from a seed to a giant oak tree. You remember the Statue of Liberty. I'm going to begin with a little bit of a science fiction story. Maybe you could call it a science fiction poem. One day, New York woke up and saw the Statue of Liberty gleaming gold. The poem engraved on her pedestal had been removed and a new poem substituted, perhaps by her benefactors. It was titled, The Path to Prosperity. Give me your well-fed, your rich, your pampered classes yearning to decree. The fate of masses hardly worth a stare, demanding all those ugly guarantees. Fair wages, unions, jobs, and Medicare. Why don't they just give it up and have some tea? Don't tax the rich and it will trickle down and rid them of their jobless misery. And if it fails and they all moan and sigh, we can sit back and watch them slowly die, choking on their dreams of liberty. It's not our fault they pushed this into our store. What made them think it was a golden door? I believe that the American dream has been changed. And people are looking at the Statue of Liberty as a beacon of gold. I'd like to introduce to you my friend, Rod Tyler, who I've worked with several times in this program, but Rod and I have had a long, long dialogue about many critical issues concerning what I would call the new American dream. And Rod, I welcome you to the program, and I'd like you to give your preliminary thoughts about this idea of a new American dream.
Well, thank you, Johnny. Thank you for inviting me again to your show. I'm very excited about the topics which we will cover today in this wonderful Saturday. And I believe that there's nothing more important. And there are so many pressing issues that the world and Americans are facing, but it all goes back to the Declaration of Independence. What's happening now is regrettable, and there's so many people that are worried about the encroachment of our rights and all the bad things that are happening. I know that we're going to cover all those topics throughout the show, and I'm really excited of having this opportunity to do it with you. And I'm sure that the audience will be delighted with the things that we're going to uncover. And I really look forward to this conversation today, Johnny.
Well, I want to make the point that I call it the new American dream because I believe that although the seed
uncover,
that planted was planted by
uncover.
by the founding fathers grew into this giant oak tree, it's not fully grown. It wasn't fully grown, or what happened to our American government and our American way of life would never have happened. So we want to take this American dream and bring it even further forward. So that's why I call it the New American Dream. Remember, in the days when the Constitution was drawn up, there were little things that were perhaps not perfectly aligned with the idea of inalienable rights, like life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. For instance, there was slavery. There was lack of women's suffrage. There were no unions. There was no protection of minorities or what we would now call civil rights. There were no primary elections or secret ballots. Much of this came later. So you see, Rod, we had a sort of seed of American dream, but later on we had this cool stuff like, you know, we extended suffrage to include minorities, to include women, to include really different ethnicities without any problem, many of which who had been prohibited from voting over a long period of time. And so we were really moving forward. And then something began to happen. And I believe it was the growth of a group of people who were running our government, who are basically being funded by private corporations and some individuals. Slowly, we began to lose as a body of people the original American dream. And it was replaced by something else, by a so-called new American dream, let's say, a dream developed as a tool for convincing people that the best thing to do is to give the well-fed and rich, the pampered classes, spoken of that poem, as much power and as much money as possible so that their wealth could trickle down to the people and that the people could just relax and let them help out by fulfilling the needs of their own masters, which were mostly corporations and some private individuals. This group of people didn't just have an American dream, it had a vision of a world order called the New World Order. Now, in my opinion, this is a Masonic concept that was developed a long time ago, and a lot of the founding fathers believed in a world order. But it wasn't a world order that was like a dictatorship. It was a world order that was an extension of the ideas that Jefferson had begun with. So what we had was a new American dream and actually a new kind of world order. But what we have to get into, perhaps to be happy and satisfied with our country and with the world in general, is a new American dream, a real new American dream, which is an extension of the old one, and the real new world order, which is an order of planetary equality and justice, based on some of the ideas and ideals of our founding fathers.
Yes, Johnny, I agree with you. I think that we need a new American dream, that is going to guide us, that is going to help us see the future in a new way, that is going to help us oppose all of these problems that we have with the New World Order. There are so many problems, and some people are talking about things like mind control, population control, surveillance abuse, big government, globalization, big business, and so many other things that are involved and are part of the problem of the New World Order. And I think that's why we so desperately need a new American dream. A new American dream is going to guide us and it's going to help us make the right decisions for our future if we want to really oppose the New World Order. We need to have some sort of model after which we're gonna build our new future, right? And we need an alternative, a real feasible alternative to what's happening right now, which is the New World Order. We see so many problems. What we're seeing in the Arab states, you know, all these Arab springs, the coup d'etats that are taking place, you know, in so many countries, terrorism. And all of these problems are connected also to the New World Order. And they're connected to globalization. They're connected to the fact that there's so many big corporations, so many governments involved in this process. And it has been taking place gradually. And that is something that we're going to discuss throughout the show, how little by little they have been taking away our rights. They're getting bigger and bigger, and our rights and us as citizens, we keep getting smaller and smaller. So I really look forward to the rest of the show and discussing these issues at length.
You know, Rod, in talking about the New World Order, we need to realize that there are, like we've indicated, there's many things that are wrong, and maybe a lot of them are manipulated by a certain group of people who are trying to project an ideal which is quite different than the ideal of the American dream that we grew up with in this country. I'm reminded of what George Orwell said about doublethink in 1984, which was the special language that this big brother, the dictator, used in order to control people. He said, doublethink means the power of holding two contradictory beliefs in one's mind simultaneously and accepting both of them. And I think that that quote and this idea of doublethink applies to the American dream and the New World Order. These are ideas that existed during the era of our founding fathers and probably before in terms of a New World Order, because people have always wanted something more wonderful, more Christ-like, if you like, more spiritual, however you want to put it. And I put it in the most universal way, actually. And so what they've tried to do is they've tried to keep the idea of a New World Order, which wasn't so deeply articulated in the minds of the American population, but somewhat, but definitely the American dream. They've tried to invert it by substituting a completely opposite idea, what we would call a security state or a police state. And this is what we're up against.
I really look forward to talking about this when we come back. We're going to take a break now.
This land is your land, and this land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from the Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me. As I went a-walking that ribbon of highway, and I saw above me that endless skyway, I saw below me that golden valley. This land was made for you and me. And rambled, and I followed my footsteps to the sparkling sands of her diamond deserts. All around me, a voice was a sounding. This land was made for you and me. There was a big high wall there that tried to stop me. A sign was painted, said private property. But on the backside, it didn't say nothing. This land was made for you and me. When the sun comes shining, then I was strolling, and the wheat fields waving, and the dust cloud rolling. A voice was chanting as the fog was lifting. This land was made for you and me. This land is your land, and this land is my land. From California to the New York Island, from Redwood Forest to the Gulf Stream waters, this land was made for you and me.
Thank you. Boots in Manhattan is a coming-of-age novel by Ray Boylan and Johnny Bluestar. It is about a young Tom Boots Raymond who grows up in New York in the 1940s, who is a member of a street gang.
My friends and I were about to start our own game of stickball when Rabbit Lacey, the head of the Rattlers, came up to us and tried to move in on our game. We were called dwarves, the youngest members of the stupid gang.
Hey, Kevin, I need you to get some gloves and some stuff I left at my place.
No, this is our game.
Hey, are you my good little dwarf or what?
You've been calling me a dwarf since I was 6. We're not your personal slaves, pal.
Hey, what is this? A dwarf rebellion? All right, big guy. We ditch the dwarf thing. We make you guys regular rattlers.
No, it's too late.
He looked at Jay and me. We looked away. Rabbit was now angry, and he pushed Kevin hard with the palms of his hand. Kevin tried to ram him in the stomach, but he stepped aside, throwing Kevin into the curb where he fell to the ground, bleeding profusely at the knee. Still, he managed to get up.
My street.
Kevin shouted at Rabbit, pointing at him with an angry index finger.
Find out more by Googling Boots in Manhattan, a 1940s coming-of-age novel, part one of the novel series The Foot Soldier by Ray Boylan and Johnny Bluestar. Google with the words Boots in Manhattan, Ray Johnny Kendall. That's Boots in Manhattan, Ray Johnny Kendall.
Nowadays, if you are a serious business person, just getting assistance from someone with a license and a bit of experience may not be sufficient. In fact, your realtor actually needs to be knowledgeable enough to be one of your top advisors. Whether you are facilitating a giant merger or selling your company, there's a lot at stake besides your finances. There is the future value of your current investment, financial freedom, integrity, and overall reputation. If you need this kind of assistance, Sandra LaFlamme is a real estate expert with the experience, reputation, and knowledge qualified to assist you in all your key transactions. Sandra LaFlamme, real estate services with integrity and conscience. Contact her today at 888-366-8070. That's Sandra LaFlamme at 888-366-8070. This is Johnny Bluestar back again with Rod Tyler to discuss the New American Dream. As we mentioned in the last section, the New American Dream is kind of a utopian, very positive idea of a planet under the that basically whose governments reflect the needs of the people and the decision-making of the people, as well as providing them with prosperity, liberty, basically a life of joy and happiness, as much as this planet can provide. Some people say that every single one of the Bill of Rights has been vitiated. And how did this happen? Well, it's hard to trace it back to the very, very start, but the most dramatic point was 9/11. In 9/11, we had surveillance, we had surveillance, and it began to be, in certain cases, without a warrant in the United States. We had torture going on, but this torture and problems, ways of avoiding the sort of constitutional rights and the rights of the Geneva Convention, were not so much present in the United States, although clearly against certain treaties that we had and certain beliefs of the American public. We had a police that were basically public police, but they were national police. They're police within our country. Now, not only are we seeing the militarization of the police, but we're seeing the possibility of armed forces from the United States coming into the United States. We're seeing people being let in terms of immigration without very many checks on those things. So something is happening which has kind of corrupted the progress that was made by the founding fathers. What do you think, Rod?
Well, I think that every day we see examples of what you're describing, you know, the chilling imagery that we see every day on the news that reflects this new reality. And we see the insidious and complete collapse of America. We're not only talking about the American dream, we're talking about the America itself. And because America used to be the leader of the world, I would say that it also involves the collapse of the world, as we know it. And it's been changing over the years, little by little, gradually. There have been many tipping points. One of them, I would say, 9/11 was a point in history. It will go down in history. It will go into the annals of infamy, I would say, because I think the changes that happened after 9/11 were quite dramatic. And I think the process, which had already started gradually a long time before, it accelerated. The pace accelerated. And in the last 15 years, we have seen a degradation of the American dream at a rate that has never, I don't think that we ever seen things degrade at this fast over the last century. And so this is a very worrying development, and amidst so many others. So it's not just an isolated incident here or there. It's all part of a big pattern that you're describing. What worries me and many other people is the fact that those changes are occurring at a much faster rate. What do you think, Johnny?
Well, you know, the nearest I can get to this, and it's really unfortunate, is the history of the of Germany right after World War I and the development of the Weimar Republic, which it was a democratic form of government, and its rapid deterioration, partially because of financial reasons, to a dictatorship. But I'm seeing other things, Rod, that are really strange. One of those things was mentioned recently by one of our GOP candidates, which is the creation of a database for Muslims, because some Muslims, obviously, some Muslims have been involved in terrorism. Since many people are in the United States are prejudiced against Islam, I still think they, you know, talking about a database just sort of similar to what we did to the Japanese people in this country, and the Muslim people in this country have been very loyal and, you know, very supportive, I think, in general about what happened in 9/11. And certainly most of the world is not part of a terrorist conspiracy. And targeting a religious group in that way is just a further extension of what is of what's been going on, that to me really rings of something deeper. When you find a scapegoat, finding a scapegoat is one of the most important things you can do if you're going to try to create a dictatorship. Not just finding a scapegoat, but finding that they're responsible for some horrendous problems that you have, and in this case, there are horrendous problems. To protect yourself, you have to develop this militaristic state. What do you think?
Oh no, definitely. And what's problematic here is, I believe that there are precedents of conducts like this in the history of the United States, as you mentioned, the Japanese camps and the anti-communist measures taken after the Second World War. And so I think some people, sadly, and the biggest problem is that some people that feel very strongly about doing things like this and taking such extreme measures in complete violation of our Constitution, they end up in government. And for one reason or the other, they end up in government, and there's a lot of support for these extreme ideals. That is the problem. It's some people believe that it's right, and it fits very neatly with the New World Order agenda, and that's a problem. The problem is because people are prejudiced. Some people are prejudiced. The master puppeteers that control the elite and NWO people, the master puppeteers that control everything, they use that to their advantage because people are afraid. People are afraid because of what's been happening. People started to be afraid because of the 9/11 attacks. After that, so many other terrorist attacks. Not that many, if you think about it. Not that many, but That is the goal of terrorism, is to inflict terror. It's not actually strategically, it's not really the purpose is not to defeat a country militarily, but to inflict terror. And they are using, the New World Order elites are using that as a great excuse, which makes me think that probably there's more to this than meets the eye. I believe that all the coup d'etats that we've seen, everything that's been happening in Africa and the Middle East, the Arab Springs, I think the New World Order is behind it for a reason. I think the New World Order is involved to some extent with everything that's related to terrorism, because they're using it to manipulate people so they can put in place these mechanisms of surveillance and to further the interests of their group, but also transform not only America, but all countries into police states. That, because that's what they want. And it's part of the New World Order, involves every country that's part of modern civilization needs to become a police state. And we're well on our way. What do you think?
As I said before, in the former discussion we had, that it is originally a really good idea. It is a really good idea to have something like a world government, like the United Nations, but that actually acts in the interest of people, of things that really connect different countries without destroying their sovereignty, that would ease certain kind of trading problems, environmental problems, economic problems, health problems, very much like the United Nations is set up, but without the perhaps extreme divisions, contradictory purposes that exist within the members of the United Nations. I have to say that even without the concept that there is a central kind of conspiratorial organization behind the New World Order, even without that, everything looks to me like a complete deterioration of the American dream and any idealist concept of world government.
Yes, I would definitely agree with that. It's been changing over the years until I think it will not even be recognizable to our founding fathers.
It wouldn't be recognizable. But we have to understand also that the founding fathers, their suffrage was very limited. They had slavery. They were providing rights for a very small number of people in a certain way. And this seed did expand, and it reached a very, very nice point. Although there has always been corruption in the American government, and there's always been a great amount of forward success in electoral politics because of money. And the difference here is that there is actually almost no recognition of what people need in this country, because these people are totally beholden to a regime of corporations and wealthy individuals who sponsor their campaigns. And the American people have fallen asleep. They do not vote hardly at all in the primary elections, which give them a choice of candidates. They are just basically, those things are ignored, like the primary elections, and they go ahead and they have their voting in their main elections with candidates who are chosen by the party, which is beholden to these corporate interests.
No, I totally agree with you. And I would like us to talk more about this after the break.
I've worked with Russian composer Edgar Aaron for quite a few years, building an inventory of songs, many of which feature singer-performer Patricia Welch. We will soon be releasing these songs, components of an album and a musical in progress called Hadley's Castle. When Edgar and I first got together, I was amazed by the brilliance of his musical scores created for movies, TVs, and animations. Here is a sample of the work he did on the Russian TV series, available now on Amazon, called The Secret Agent's Memoir, which had 2 seasons. This score is called Escape and was created for the first season. pleased to say that Bridge of Light Productions, a division of New Galaxy Enterprises, is proud to be the contact point for television and film companies seeking information about this amazing composer's work. If you're in the entertainment business and wish to know more, contact me at johnnybluestar@gmail.com. That's johnnybluestar@gmail.com.
It is the 15th century. El Tesoro de Cielo, a Spanish treasure ship, sends a scouting expedition to a strange island. Golden statues surrounding them prove the enormity of their find. Suddenly, hordes of ghoulish creatures with scaly green flesh and skeletal wings descend upon them from the sky.
What do you think of this, Rufio?
These creatures are fragile, Captain. We can take them with our swords.
They seem supernatural. Who knows what powers they possess?
Fallen angels, weakened by their treason.
By God, are you saying they're Nephilim, the devil's host?
I'm saying whatever they are, we can take them. Do any of you cowards dare join me?
Up against sharp knife-like nails and hideous fangs, the men's swords rip into slimy green flesh. Though black blood pours copiously from their half-naked bodies, creatures miraculously persist. Can the crew survive this bloody, cursed battle?
Find out more by Googling The Thrice Born, a new sci-fi supernatural novel by Carlos Lopez Avery and Johnny Bluestar. Google with the words Carlos Johnny Kendall, The Thrice Born. That's Carlos Johnny Kendall, The Thrice Born.
New Galaxy Enterprises is a media company specializing in wide-ranging content like novels, nonfiction books, screenplays, commercial advertising, web content, etc. One of our most esteemed providers is illustrator Robert W. Zalo. I work on all my most important projects, like book covers, logos, web design elements, with Robert. As an illustrator, he worked on the Ignatz-nominated comic book, The Expert's Guide to Killing Things That Go Bump in the Night. His skills encompass advertising, magazine illustrations, gaming, comic books, TV production, and scenic painting. His clients include Comcast, Adelphia, Haven Talent, Forceworks, High Octane Theater, Star Creative Advertising. If you wish to contact Robert, go to johnnybluestar.com and let me know. That's johnnybluestar.com for artist illustrator Robert Zalo, an essential component of all the work we do. Maybe he can help you too. This is Johnny Bluestar back on Threshold Radio with Rod Tyler. Now, we had started this conversation by talking about the New American Dream. And I want to point out how this idea is actually embedded in the words that we mentioned before from the Declaration. Listen carefully. We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain inalienable rights, that among those are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness are not the only inalienable rights. Some of them are not mentioned. And I think as we have progressed, some of those rights have been expanded, like the right to more or less universal suffrage for women, for minorities, for ethnicities and different racial groups. That's been already taken care of, at least on paper, as an ideal, but also to some extent it has been administered. In other words, the law has enforced these type of rights to a degree, not perfectly. In the New American Dream, I would say that these rights would be entirely enforced. You would not have someone saying Black Lives Matter because everybody's life would matter. You would not have to be talking about government that was not truly transparent to the best of its ability. You would be able to trust your government and to know that the people in it were really trying to not only enforce the will of the people, but if you like, the will of the Creator in creating these types of inalienable rights. Rod?
Oh, no, definitely, definitely. And I think that we've seen many different examples of the corruption of the American Dream. The American Dream was a national ethos of the United States. This incredible set of ideals, right? Liberty, opportunity, equality. You're talking about black Lives Matter. Why are they protesting? It's because of inequality. It's because of lack of opportunity. It's because they feel targeted, right?
Yes, when you have so many, I don't know where to start. I mean, shall we start with talking about the number of young black men who are in jail, the incredible differential between black people in jail and people of different racial groups? It's incredible. How many? What's the ratio between capital crimes where someone is actually executed between white and black people? You know, with all the persecution and problems and poverty and lack of opportunity, it's a state of unimaginable hardship for many black people just simply because they're black.
You know, Chris Rock, in one of his shows, talked about how in his neighborhood, he lives in New Jersey, but it's an upper scale neighborhood, right? There's only 7 black people there. And one of them is Magic Johnson. The other one, I don't know. It's all of them are artists, like Jay-Z and him, right? It's 7 black people, right? They're celebrities. And he says, well, the 7 black people that live here, like, we are more than famous. We're great celebrities. You know, everyone knows us. We basically have to reach the sky in order to live here. You know, and my neighbor is a dentist, right? A white net dentist, right? He's not a great dentist, you know? He's just a dentist, right? And he gets to live here. So I think it says a lot about what we're talking about.
Yeah. Well, the thing is, so I envision a world where there is truly cultural equality, where people don't look at each other for their... make great differences because they have a different religious faith or ethnicity or racial or in a certain racial group. But farther than that, well, I see certain rights that are really maybe part of an enhanced American dream. And one of those is the idea of protection in case of, you know, sickness or disease or injury. I see the government protecting your health. I do agree with Bernie Sanders in saying that I do believe that it's a right. And the system that we have is, I think, massively corrupt. I think we could discuss that because we could discuss the fact that we have a democracy, a developed democracy, it's developed economically, and it differs from every other major developed democracy insofar as it does not have universal health care.
Well, you know, Johnny, one of the usual reasons that are given for not trying to provide universal health care in a country is poverty. And in the United States, which is the richest country in the world, which certainly could afford it, I mean, I can't think of a better example of a country that could actually afford it than the United States. And definitely at quite high levels for all Americans. Because, I mean, think about how much money is spent in wars. You know, $1 trillion in Iraq, $1 trillion in Afghanistan. Some people say it's even going to go as high as $3 billion for each one. Or if we take into account the fact that probably they're going to stay there longer, you know, because they're going back. It some experts say that it might reach as high as $6 trillion. I mean, in the end, that's a lot of money. I think you could pay for universal health care for all the citizens of the country for 100 years with that money, if it's done properly.
But the thing is that you can't. In other words, you can't just create right now when we owe maybe $20 trillion nationally, you know, the federal government owes that much money. We can't do these things unless there's an economic environment that's possible. And with these continual wars and this incredible waste of our resources, It's very difficult to conceive of this type of dream being realized without a whole lot of other changes.
Oh, definitely. Because, I mean, it comes down to taking care of the needs of the people, not taking care of the needs of the special interests and the people that are in charge of the country, the big corporations, big business that basically have the government in their pockets. And you can see that because of the high level of expenditures in things like healthcare, when it comes to pharmaceuticals, for example. Americans pay far more than any other nation in the world to pharmaceuticals. Why is that? Why do you cross the border into Mexico and buy the same pharmaceutical for 10 times less the price? It tells you basically that the government has an arrangement with pharmaceutical companies, and the same type of arrangement applies to insurers, to insurance companies, and to everyone involved in healthcare. So there's a high level of corruption that permeates every little aspect of the healthcare system in the United States that basically makes it unfeasible to even propose a universal system that provides coverage to everyone, because they say, oh, look how expensive it is. But you are making it expensive because through artificial manipulation of the costs, you make it unfeasible to the government to be able to afford it. But it is not inherently expensive. You're making it expensive when pharmaceuticals charge Americans 10 times more than they charge other nations. That tells you something about it. That tells you that it's the government and their manipulation that is making it unfeasible. But in reality, the United States, it could certainly afford to provide healthcare to every American at very high levels if things changed. But I think the root problem here is corruption. That's what's really keeping Americans from having a good universal system that's feasible, that can pay for itself, that's sustainable, and that's affordable.
Well, I want to go into this a little bit more, Rod, because I think there are other problems that are related to this. Because I don't think that we want a universal health care that is flawed not only in its cost, but in its content. And right now we need to go for a break.
There's a great and a bloody fight around this whole world tonight. In the battle, the bombs and shrapnel rain. Hitler told the world around he would tear our union down. But our union's gonna break them slavery chains. And our union's gonna break them slavery chains. I walked up on a mountain in the middle of the sky. Could see every farm and every town. I could see all the people in this whole wide world. That's a union that'll tear the fascists down, down, down. That's a union that'll tear the fascists down. When I think of the men and the ships going down while the Russians fight on across the Don, there's London in ruins and Paris in chains. Good people, what are we waiting on? Good people, what are we waiting on? So I thank the Soviets and the mighty Chinese vets, the allies, the whole wide world around. To the battling British, thanks, you can have 10 million Yanks if it takes them to tear the fascists down, down, down. If it takes them to tear the fascists down. But when I think of the ships and the men going down and the Russians fight on across the Don, there's London in ruins and Paris in chains. Good people, what are we waiting on? Good people, what are we waiting on? So I thank the Soviets and the mighty Chinese vets, the allies, the whole wide world around. To the battling British, thanks. You can have 10 million Yanks if it takes them to tear the fascists down, down, down. If it takes them to tear the fascists down.
The following is from West Side Warrior, the memoir of Ray Boylan, a Korean War veteran and crime fighter. He was there fighting in the world's coldest battlefield when the Chinese communists invaded.
Desperate squad members ran past our foxhole yelling, "Get the hell out of here, there's too many of them!" Again, as other Chinese soldiers charging in with opium-induced mindlessness, oblivious of our bullets. Again, we heard the bugles and whistles. Climbing out of our foxhole, Bob dropped 2 hand grenades behind us, and I threw one over my shoulder. Bullets whizzing by our heads, Bob and I became bolts of lightning flashing across the mountainside. Like a hideous film, desperate scenes like this played out on the Tokong Pass for 3 days. Sometimes I played in the scene. Sometimes I could only watch and wonder if it were real, or if I'd be suddenly jolted out of my trance by an RKO usher saying, "Hey, did you kids sneak in here?"
To acquire this book, Google westsidewarrior.boylan.kindle. Boylan is spelled B-O-Y-L-A-N. That's West Side Warrior, Boylan, Kindle.
This is Johnny Blue Star. I've worked as a lyricist with Patricia Welch for over 5 years, along with Russian composer Edgar Ahrens, a friend and colleague. Her ability as a singer is simply amazing. She brings a unique and dramatic flair to every song she sings. Over the next few months, we shall be releasing a number of these songs, part of an album called Hadley's Castle. Meanwhile, Patricia has been busy creating a super enjoyable collection of classic standards in an exciting 46-song, 3-CD collection.
Music for great entertaining introduces Cocktails, Dinner, and Dessert with Patricia Welch. 3 hours of continuous music. 46 of the all-time classic standards, spanning decades of hit songs. Going to a friend's home for dinner? Cocktails, Dinner, and Dessert with Patricia also makes the perfect hostess gift. This 3-CD compilation is the perfect background music that sets just the right mood for any dinner party.
I'm crazy for feeling so lonely. There was a boy, a very strange, enchanted boy.
To purchase this album, just go to patriciawelch.com/CD. That is patriciawelch.com/CD. You won't be disappointed.
Welcome back. This is Rod Tyler. I'm with Johnny Blue Star on Threshold. Before the break, Johnny, we were talking about healthcare and its connection with the American dream. So please tell us more about this, Johnny.
Well, you see, you were correct in saying that if we could adjust a lot of our expenditures, particularly those perhaps connected with these endless wars, we would have more money and be able to perhaps easily afford to pay for universal health care. The problem is, universal health care is really only good if the health care is good. And in my opinion, the current situation with healthcare is very flawed because of a number of problems, many of which are connected with the food industry. I believe, because of various reasons, that our food is being extremely poisoned by many different factors. I can just name a few. One of them is the omnipresence of sucrose or different kinds of artificial sugar in our foods. You can hardly go to a grocery store here without and walk down the aisles without some kind of a problem. If you go into the produce section, you have the problem with pesticides, all GMOs, genetically modified organisms, where you have actual all kinds of strange genetic things happening in these foods, which have great possibilities for dangers, and some of which may have been demonstrated scientifically, but much of it has been totally unregulated and untested. Then you have, in terms of the general problem, and you go to buy some chicken or some beef, and you've got things that have been not only altered with certain kinds of chemicals, but also with hormones, which have antibiotic traces in them. And so you have all these multiple biological and chemical problems associated with eating. And then you have a kind of medical establishment that is often primarily using pharmaceutical products that are basically designed to suppress symptoms and not to address the real problems that are causing the health situation. Perhaps you could expand on that, Rod.
Oh, no, definitely. There is no money in curing people. There is no money to be made if people are healthy. So I think there is a well-organized program by the government in conjunction with big business, big pharma, to keep people sick, you know, chronically sick, you know, genetically modified foods, pesticides, herbicides, you know, and all these food additives. I mean, quite frankly, I cannot think why they have not banned so many of these substances that we know that are harmful, and yet we eat them every day. We eat them every day, you know, especially processed foods are full of those ingredients, and they certainly make you sick. I mean, we see all these new problems that people are having that are directly related to food, but I think this is a well-organized effort on their part to keep people sick. Chronic illnesses are good for business, are good for pharmaceuticals, are good for hospitals, because they keep you on the hook, right? And that's what they want you. They don't want to cure you. There is no emphasis on prevention. Nobody talks about nutrition, proper nutrition. And if you look at the nutritional recommendations of the mainstream establishment, and you really take a really good look at it, and you say, this is going to keep me sick, you know? What they're advocating is just they recommend milk, for example, but milk is full of hormones, you know, and of antibiotics, and it's a problem. How is that not going to make you sick? It's going to make you very sick. But I think this is a well-organized effort on their part to try to keep everyone sick and chronically sick. They don't want to kill you. They just want to make you sick, so you have to buy their medicine, and which, quite frankly, doesn't cure you. Probably it just numbs the pain enough so you forget about it, that you forget about the fact that you're spending thousands and thousands of dollars a year for something that, in the first place, you should not be taking. You should not be taking if you had... A good nutritional basis as the foundation of your health, right?
Yeah, I think that there's another component here, which I think you probably understand quite well, and that's that because of the motivation to create these drugs is largely due to financial reasons, and therefore, they basically have to develop products that they can patent and so have an exclusive right over. This gets into other aspects of big business and some of the problems that we have in actually maneuvering in the health field.